So, if we journey back a bit, maybe 497 years or so, and we take a little trip halfway across the world to a little college town in the middle of Germany, I imagine that the day started like any other. The sun rose, people woke up, farmers tended their fields, and a young college professor in a black robe got up from his desk, put on his overcoat, went down the stairs carrying two pieces of paper that he just finished working on, and he headed to church. On the way there, I imagine he said hi to the people he knew, walked up a few short steps to this big, large wooden door, and I imagine he stood there looking at the other papers and flyers nailed to the church door. And then this young professor slowly nailed one of his papers onto the door. And after it was up, I imagine he stood there, making sure everything was straight, reading over what he wrote one last time, before walking back down the steps and heading to his local postmaster to mail his second piece of paper, an exact copy of the first, to the local archbishop who lived a few towns over. With the mailing done, he walked back home, going over in his head the lecture he was preparing for later that day. That young professor didn't expect what happened next. He didn't know he started something big. All he did was write 95 thoughts about the church, about God, and about what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and he posted those thoughts in public and sent a copy to his boss, too. If Martin Luther, our spiritual ancestor that gives our flavor of Christianity its name, never sent that letter to the archbishop, the fights, the struggle, what happens next wouldn't have happened. But they did. And if you look around, you'll notice that we're the heirs to that struggle. We're a product of that history. Us, all of us here at Christ Lutheran Church in Woodcliffe Lake, we're here because a young professor took a look around, listened to the Holy Spirit, and told his story of God, his story of Jesus, his story of God's love and our call to bear that love into the world. He told that story, and he wasn't afraid to share that story with his boss. So when we look at our gospel reading today, these short verses from the Gospel of John, we find Jesus in Jerusalem, teaching and talking to his disciples and others gathered around him. Jesus turns to them and says, "If you continue in my word, you will know truth, and the truth shall make you free." And these words kind of shock those gathered around him. They turn to Jesus and go, "Now, wait a minute, free? What do you mean, free? Now, we're not slaves. We know slavery. Slavery is all around us. In the time of Jesus, slavery was very real and affected millions. But we who are gathered around you in the temple, how can we be slaves? We are the descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone." That's a very odd phrase to say. We have never been slaves to anyone. Maybe presently they could say that. Sure, they might not have been slaves right now. They might not be physically owned by anyone. And even though the Roman Empire occupied their country and their government, the Roman Empire picked what they could do and when they could do it, it's not like the slavery they saw all around them. Those gathered around Jesus, they were focused on the present, on the right now. And for that, Jesus calls them out on it. Their focus on the right now, it causes them to forget their story and their history. It causes them to forget who they are, where they came from, and their cultural identity. They were, as a people, slaves once. They were slaves in Egypt, but God, through Moses, led them to Israel. They were in Israel when Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem, taking their leaders and teachers far away from home into exile. Their story was full of slavery, And in that slavery, in the twist of history that gave them their culture, that story also gave them their identity as God's chosen people, as the people God loves, walks with, struggles with, and continues to live with and through. When Jesus heard that they didn't remember their slavery, he heard them saying they didn't know their story. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know whose they were. And they didn't truly see the present standing right in front of them, and a future through the one standing before them face to face, a future through Jesus Christ. Now, today is Reformation Sunday. It's the one Sunday we officially, by name, recognize as the birthday of the movement on why we're all gathered here in this place. It's a day, like all holidays and celebrations, that can easily be stuck in the past. We could stand up here, recite Luther's past, talk about how awesome we are, have a potluck with a few casseroles, and just call it a day. We can make the mistake of telling our story and forgetting the most important parts of our story. We can see our story as a series of events rather than a series of people having epic encounters with God. Women and men of deep faith, deep fears, deep doubts, who, unlike those disciples gathered around Jesus in the temple, these faithful women and men looked in Jesus and saw God's mercy. They saw God's love. They saw God's future. And they saw God claiming them right now, saying that they matter, that they are important, that their story is God's story. These faithful people looked at Jesus, looked at the one who died on the cross for them, saw God taking the initiative to reconcile the world, to forgive the world. They saw God love the world. And these faithful people, in their own journeys of faith, they then asked, now what? Jesus walked the earth. Jesus died on the earth. Jesus is resurrected from the earth. God saw the distance between what humans did, thought, and believed, and God crossed over it. God grabbed onto us and closed the distance. So, when God has done everything, now what? What do we do now? What are we supposed to do, all of us, as a now what people? That was Luther's question. That was the focus of the Reformation. And this is our question too. The Reformation continues because it asks this question. It pushes us into the future because we live in a very future-oriented way. God loved us. Jesus died for us. Jesus is resurrected for us. So we're living in the post-Jesus era. We're living after the party that God caused by living a very human life. We're, in a sense, living in God's after-party. Living out God's and humanity's future right now. We're living out what it means to be free, to be the heirs of God's promises through Jesus Christ. We are free to shower our neighbor with love. We are free to raise them up when they are down. We are free to walk with them through strife, struggle, conflict, and worry. We are free to fight for justice on behalf of those who cannot. We are free to march the picket line for those who cannot. We are free to face down oppression in all its shape and forms, from sexism, racism, ageism, just to name a few. Because we have been freed to be God's love. That is the cost of being a member of the now what people. God walked the earth. God loved creation. God continues to shower grace, mercy, and forgiveness on humanity. And God continues to raise up co-creators of the kingdom of God to fight for justice, tolerance, love, equality, and forgiveness. God continues to raise up co-creators of the kingdom to do what God did in the act of the cross, in that party that started on the hill at Calvary. We, as heirs to the Reformation, are a now what people. We are living through our own future. We're living through God's future. So just how is God calling us to live out that love today?